Hey, you ever known a couple where one person in the relationship has some baggage or a struggle of some sort that they, don't raise your hands, that wasn't the real question, that was just the lead in, Kim. They have sort of a struggle or some baggage of some sort, and maybe later on, like, they meet Jesus, or they get sober, or they finish some time in prison or something, and all of a sudden, it's like they're reborn, you know? And it's like the relationship gets reborn, and then you look at them, you're like, what? Like, is that who they could have been all along? I hardly even know that couple. They're, like, amazing together. You ever known anybody like that, where something just, like, came together eventually? I think all of us know somebody like that. And it might be by degrees, big or small, I don't know. But it can happen between friends, neighbors, colleagues. Somebody you thought, I'll never be able to appreciate that person. I'm never going to be able to relate to them. I don't even like being around them that much. And then all of a sudden, it all comes together, and you can't imagine being without them. You can't imagine them being any other way. Happens between parents and kids all the time. Yeah, we're like, what? Is this the same child? They're amazing, you know? And for a while there, you didn't know. I think it's amazing that we can be loved without feeling loved. I think it's amazing we can be loved and not let ourselves feel the love. For some reason, in our own brokenness, we don't have the capacity to receive the love from the other person or to reciprocate it back to them. It's there the whole time, and we can't find a way to bridge the gap so we can have that gift, you know? Greatest gift of all is love. And sometimes we cannot access it. And then we change a little, we grow up, we see things a little differently, we come to our senses, we figure out what we really want. Sometimes that love is still waiting for us. But I always look at those stories, as beautiful as they are, and I think, how many years did they miss? How many beautiful opportunities did they miss along the way while that love was unfulfilled between the two? You know? Which is a lot like the good news I have to proclaim for us today. In Christ, God has already chosen life for us all, but he lovingly lets us choose when and how much we will experience the new life he gives. Why would we miss out by going down the wide road when the road less traveled leads to more and better life now and later? It's a fantastic good news. And it's a fantastic question at the end. And that's what I want to focus on for a few minutes together. It's the first choice that Jesus sets up at the end of this sermon. I told you last week, he's going to call us to action. And he's going to go through choice after choice after choice. And he's going to hold them in front of us. And he's going to say, now that I've described all this beautiful thing that I'm doing, what are you going to do? What do you really want? And today, he says this, you've probably heard this in some form or fashion as well. Go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road wide, so many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road difficult, so few people find it. Now, if we're going to wrestle with this contrast that Jesus sets up, because he's got a couple of them here, there's a narrow gate and a wide gate. There's life and there's destruction. I think if we're going to wrestle with that, we got to be sure we have a couple of operating assumptions down. And the first one is that all humanity is made alive in Christ. While most people don't know it, all humans are part of a new creation. Here's how the Apostle Paul writes about it. Since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead came through one too. In the same way everyone dies in Adam, everyone will be given life in Christ. We hit on that a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the ultimate judgment and the thing we sometimes call the curse that humanity has labored under from the very beginning of our story. This natural, self-destructive consequence of turning from the God who is the source of life. And how that plays out, it's played out through the human story over all the eons. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, everyone dies in Adam. It all started with the very first humans. However, All of us have contributed our layers of pain to the story, haven't we? We've all added a little destruction along the way. All of us have chosen, in the words of Jesus in this passage, we've all picked the wide road many times. But then Paul says, everyone will be given life in Christ. Jesus is the new Adam who conquers death with his cross and resurrection. We're going to celebrate that in a couple of weeks. And he opens up this path to a new life. Jesus calls it the narrow gate, but there's a new way forward, Jesus says. It's coming in me. It is presently here, and you can access it if you want to. You'll have to pick the narrow gate, though. Paul writes something similar in Romans 5. He says, so now the righteous requirements necessary for life are met for whom? Everyone, through the righteous act of one person, Jesus, just as judgment fell on everyone through the failure of one person, many people were made righteous through the obedience of one person, just as many people were made sinners through the disobedience of one person. The law stepped in the meantime, to amplify the failure. We talked about this as well, that the purpose of the law was to clarify for us the natural consequences of the wide road, our sin. But where sin increased, amazing grace multiplied how much? Ooh, say that again. Grace multiplied how much? No matter how big the sin was, no matter how much the sin was, no matter how much the cumulative effect of sin is across the entire story of humanity, grace multiplied even more. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. Your chains are gone. Amen? Paul's emphatic and he's clear here. What happened on the cross is sufficient for everyone. God's dream has always been everyone would know and experience the life that Christ gives. And Jesus was quite clear that life is what he came to give. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Jesus says, this is what I'm here for. This is what's on offer. But of course, we're going to have to wrestle with what Jesus says here, that the gate to life is narrow and few find it. Which could seem a little bit like he and Paul aren't on the same page. If we don't remember what Jesus is up to in this sermon, over and over, he's calling us to two choices, and he's saying, two options, choose. We get to choose our experience of new life. Jesus says it's like going in through the narrow gate. The wide one leads to destruction. We're all pretty familiar with that one. We've all been on that one frequently enough. But now, through me, there is another option, a narrow gate to life. And sadly, few people find it. It's right there the whole time. It's available for everybody the whole time. But few people find it. I clarified last week, I want to remind you again today, Jesus is not pronouncing a judgment here as he's describing this choice. And this passage, I think, often gets misused and misrepresented in that way. He's not pronouncing a judgment. He's encouraging our discernment. He says, I've been talking about this to y'all for us, it's been over a year. I mean, they weren't probably on that hillside for a year, but he talked to them probably for a few hours to preach this whole sermon, right? I've been helping you see. Here's what's available. Here's what's at stake. Now it's time to choose. Choose. Choose carefully. Discern the choice. Because most people won't. He's not talking about our final state of being. He's calling us to a way of life, his way of life that's available right now. That's what all of this is about. But now he's reminding us, if we don't commit to this way of new life, we also won't get to experience it. If we're not willing to walk through the narrow gate, we won't be on the narrow way. It's like somebody missing out on the love that was available for them the entire time. Their wife, their husband, their sister, their brother, their mom, their dad, their child. Somebody was loving them the whole time, and they couldn't see it, couldn't receive it, wouldn't be open to it. That's what this is like. We get to choose whether we want to experience the love that God's making available in Christ. He's also reminding us that life in his kingdom does require effort. In other words, the love is made available by grace. Amazing grace. It's available right here. You didn't do anything to earn it. God just loves us. And he shows up in the form of Jesus to show us how much. It's by grace. But you can't experience that love unless you choose to participate in it. You know? You got to engage with that love in order for it to become real to you. It's truly and really available. Are you truly and really experiencing it is another question. This is good news. Please hear this good news. In Christ, God has already chosen life for us all, but he lovingly, lovingly lets us choose when and how much we experience the new life he gives. Why would we miss out by going down the wide road when the road less traveled is what leads to more and better life? Now, and yes, later. I think at least part of the problem for at least some of us is what Jesus illustrates so beautifully with these two options. A wide road, everybody's on that one. And this narrow one over here that's kind of hard and very few people get on that one. The narrow road, the road to life, often gets uncomfortable and inconvenient for a while. And sometimes along the way, you're going to have to go against the flow. And if you're really going to follow Jesus and surrender to learn from him how to love like him and live as he would live, it's going to be challenging sometimes. And it's almost always challenging somewhere in the beginning when you're trying to unlearn all these other ways you've been learning most of your life everywhere else, and you all of a sudden turn around and start going the other direction. It's like, whoo, this doesn't really feel real good. I thought Jesus was going to make it all feel good. Oh, he does, really. And the longer you're on the road, the better it gets, and the happier you are. Man, thank God I chose the road less traveled. Amen? But it will have its difficulties, you know? It's just if you don't choose it now, it only gets harder to choose it later. Because you cycle through so many of those other bad choices and so many other things, and you pile up so much more baggage along the way. And then if you finally say yes to God's love, some point you'll realize, oh, thank God I finally saw the light. And I sure wish I would have done it way back there. How much love was I missing out on the whole time? You know, how much did I miss out on? Because God will not force people to accept the truth. Love must be chosen. You have to receive love. You have to want the love. You have to say, I'm gonna go for it. You know? Just like when you fall in love with a human. Same principle. And the truth is, it's easier right now to be comfortable. Amen? I mean, who wants to be uncomfortable? Anybody? No, I mean, we talk about it like no pain, no gain, you know, all that sort of a thing. It's supposed to hurt, whatever, you know. We don't really believe that. I mean, we know it's true, but we don't like it. It's not like we all jumped out of bed this morning and go, man, lost an hour, best day of the year. We like comfort. We like convenience. We like going with the flow sometimes. Well, it's way easier, you know. But if you say, I'm going to commit myself to developing the loving character of Jesus, I'm going to take seriously all the things Jesus has just been talking about in this sermon that challenges everything I've ever heard, challenges every system I operate in anywhere else in my life. It goes against conventional wisdom. It goes against almost everything that I've seen in this world, all the stuff that looks like it pays off. Non-judgment, he just talked about that like 3 minutes ago, so I mean, there's a big one. And now he says, do you want the life this way brings? Because he's given us some beautiful truths. There's something I think in our souls that resonates with the things we've been hearing from Jesus in the sermon. We're like, I wish the world operated like that. That'd be an amazing world to live in. Wow. But it's also hard because we're the ones who have to give ourselves to it. Anybody listening to Jesus so far is not that surprised that he uses a choice like this. Narrow, hard way, wide, easy way. Kind of works. The narrow hard way may be daunting. It may be unrealistic. It may even seem impossible. It's like, really, we can't live like this. Who's going to actually be able to live like this, Jesus? I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. As long as I recognize this road as the one I'm commanded to walk, and I try to walk it in fear of myself, it is truly impossible. But If I see Jesus Christ walking ahead of me step by step, if I look only at him and follow him step by step, I'll be protected on this path. Isn't that beautiful? You're not going through the narrow gate by yourself. You're following Jesus through the narrow gate. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is with us. The one who gives us the gift of amazing grace is the one who will love us to life again. That's what's on offer, my friends. The narrow way is the way of Jesus. And he's with us every step of the way. It's why if you ever sort of get your eyes open and you see this, like, love will compel us to share this good news of new life with other people, right? Like, it's like, whoa, you will never believe what I just got in on. You know, it's beautiful. Listen to the Apostle Paul. This passage just moves me so much. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. When we baptize on this stage in a couple of weeks on Easter Sunday, we will say those words. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen? All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and he called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them, to choose the narrow way, the wide path. Dissension, disagreement, disunity, conflict, all unresolved. Let it fester and grow and grow. Oh, the new way of Jesus. Let's just make that stuff, let's get that stuff right. You know what I'm saying? Jesus will help. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God, everybody. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. Is that beautiful? God says he wants everybody to, sometimes we use the phrase, and it's a scriptural phrase, come to repentance, which has also probably been misrepresented at times. But essentially, all he's saying is, get off the wide road and choose the narrow gate. Turn around, course correction, see what I offer, choose what I offer. And once we are doing that and we're experiencing the great love of God, his amazing grace, our chains are gone, yes, it would be the most natural thing in the world for us to want everybody else to get in on it too, right? It's like, wow, this is the best thing ever. I think this is what it's all about, actually. And so that's why we share it with everybody. We want them to have new life. We want them to experience what it's like to be loved by a love that's already theirs. They just maybe don't know it yet, you know? God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. I think that's why it's so heartbreaking when we get it wrong. Church, Christians, somehow we think our job description is to judge people and condemn people and morality police them. Instead, just proclaim the good news, and if they're interested, guide them to learn from Jesus how to love like Jesus and live as Jesus too. And they'll get it. It's your kindness that draws me to repentance, Scripture says. I believe that with all my heart. This is good news, friends. In Christ, God has already chosen life for us all, but he lovingly lets us choose when and how much we experience the new life that he gives. Why would we miss out going down the wide road? When the road less traveled leads to more and better life now and later. When I finally had the eyes to see what Jesus is up to, it changed everything for me. When I realized that the point of everything is learning to live in love, not escaping condemnation, not escaping judgment, not even going to heaven when I die. Oh, that's all baked in. That's like the icing on the cake. It's just not the point of everything. The point of everything is learning to live in love. And the gift I get to offer to other people is the same gift that God has given me. There's a new way of living, people. It may be a little bit difficult. It may not be what everybody's doing, but Jesus brought it for us, and he wants it for you too. We're not trying to earn love, friends. We're not trying to prove that we're worthy. We're not trying to avoid punishment. Jesus has already shown that we're loved. Apparently, he thinks we are worthy to receive his love. And apparently, the punishment has already been taken care of. Those things are inconsequential. Here's the offer Jesus makes. Everybody is invited to get in on more and better life, real and eternal life, better life than you ever imagined. That's the offer. It was a game changer for me. Sometimes it's felt like there were little parts of the story that didn't quite add up to the good news that I saw elsewhere. And this has helped resolve so much of that for me over the years of my faith. And it brings me great joy to echo these words. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes, his love has the first and last word in everything I do. That'd just be the epitaph on my tombstone, you know? I hope that's just the sum of my life by the time it's done. And to anybody who will listen, what a joy to be able to extend the same invitation Jesus extends. Hey, become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Maybe you didn't know, he's already a friend with you. Isn't that beautiful? He's a good, good God. And what he's up to in the world is beautiful. And if somewhere along the way you've heard some message, you were taught to believe that God is stingy with his love, my friend, I hope you will consider it again. He is wildly extravagant with his love. Extends it to all things and all people everywhere for all of time. And we haven't always known, I admit, what God is like, but now we do. It turns out God is exactly like Jesus. He's always been like Jesus. He could never be unlike Jesus. And friends, that is such good news because this shows us how big and how beautiful the love of God must really be. And the invitation is, you want in on this good, beautiful, and true story? All the love and life you've ever wanted is available for you right now. You just have to have eyes to see it, and you got to have the courage to choose it, even if it's going to be hard at times, and even if a lot of other people you know aren't choosing it. You can. You can. And maybe someday they will. Maybe if they see it in your life, maybe they will. Maybe they'll want to get in on it too. But here's the invitation. Listen to me. Enter the story with a full heart and take seriously Jesus' offer of new life. Devote yourself to the narrow way, learning from Jesus, how to love like Jesus and live as Jesus, because the narrow way is the way of Jesus. And love is the point of everything. Learning to live in love is the great task of life. This is what Jesus has on offer. Life or death? Narrow way or wide way? What do you want? Because we get to choose. Love has to let us choose. Could we do a little reflection before we go? Would you mind bow your heads again and maybe close your eyes for a couple of minutes? Let me prompt you with two or three things you might consider, and maybe there's some things you want to talk to God about right now. Maybe there's some things to carry into your week. Maybe it'll tee up something you want someone to pray with you about after the gathering. I think the first question that comes to my mind is there any unfinished work in your life that you think maybe God is still up to? Some way he's still calling you to the narrow way, because the narrow way is not like something we get on once and it's done. It's like we pretty much choose to stay on that narrow way every day of our lives. Is there some point of surrender? Jesus, I picked the narrow way today. I'm going to pick the way of love again today. Just surrender to that. Help me, show me. Give me the courage to keep doing it. Give me the will to keep loving when other people aren't loving me back. I think the second thing that comes to my mind as I contemplate this good news is, who do I know that still needs to know they're loved in this way? Who still needs the good news, you know? Any possibility you might be able to help share that with them? Maybe somebody that you're thinking of as someone you think, you know what, I really could invite them to Easter. We'll help. It'll be a whole morning full of good news, you know? Maybe that's something you take away today. At last, if you've never been baptized, I'll ask you that question I posed at the beginning. Why not? What is it that would keep you from saying yes? Maybe you need to consider saying yes to baptism on Easter, because it's one way we choose with our bodies, life over death. We get into baptistry and we say, I'm taking the road less traveled, people. I'm going in through the narrow gate. It's a beautiful picture of that surrender. Father, I don't know, and I'm sure couldn't handle whatever you might be up to in our hearts in this room right now. But you can, and you are. You are with us, and you're at work. You care about us more than we could imagine. And in this moment, Father, whether we're wrestling with something we believe you're still up to in our lives, someplace we're struggling to surrender, if we're wrestling with somebody else, Lord, that we know needs good news, considering how we might be part of sharing it, if we're wrestling with the public expression of our faith and our love in Jesus, whatever else might be, Lord, that we're carrying with us today, we surrender it all to you. We give it all to you. We thank you that you give us amazing grace to handle every one of those challenges. We commit ourselves again, Father, that we will be your people. We will allow you to do through us good things and to bring good news into this world. Lord, we really want to become an unstoppable source of your love. Help us choose life. Help us choose the way of love, the way of Jesus. And Lord, I pray we'd have the eyes to see and the courage to pick your way over any other way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.